Hey, grab a Bible, turn to Judges chapter 16. Judges 16, we're going to wrap up our look at Samson today. And let me just tell you that I appreciate all the congratulations and all. And I was telling some of the people, it's kind of weird when you're the grandparent and they congratulate you because basically they're just saying, congratulations, you didn't kill your child before they were able to reproduce. And we appreciate that. Thanks for letting them live. And we are truly blessed. Emmett is a blessing from God. We're thankful for him. And I think they're going to go home from the hospital today. And as far as we know, all is well. So we're going to wrap up with Samson today. And next Sunday, we're going to start a new summer series called Big. And we're going to kind of roll through the book of Acts, discovering God's big idea called the church. So if you think you know what church is about, it's going to be a great series for you. If you think you don't really know what church is all about, it's going to be great, be a great series for you. And if you have friends that aren't really down with the church because they're not really like in tune with what they think the church is about, it's a great series for them. It's a great time to invite a friend who maybe doesn't really get the church, who doesn't really know what church is all about. And that's going to get us all the way through the summer, a little study in the book of Acts. But let's finish with Samson today, and let's do a quick review, and then we'll see how this drama ends. Samson is like one of the most frustrating characters in the Bible. He is an enigma. God blessed Samson with so much, and it was all given at birth. Samson didn't have anything to do with any of it. It was just God's gracious gift to him. It was given at birth. Samson was chosen by God and was given this supernatural strength by God. God chose him and set him apart to play a major role in delivering the Israelites from their enemies, the Philistines. But Samson, despite his calling and his power, he messed up over and over again. Samson, like so many of us, like so many men, jacks things up again and again and again. And we talked about how Samson was an incredibly strong man with a dangerously weak will, and he continually broke his agreement with God. He repeatedly broke his vow to God by chasing the wrong women, touching things he wasn't supposed to touch, drinking things he wasn't supposed to drink, and getting his hair cut, which he was never supposed to do. We also talked about this issue. Excuse me. We discovered that Samson was emotionally driven instead of spirit-led. Samson, like so many of us men, allowed his emotions to get out of control, and when he did, he could not be led by the Spirit of God. And then last Sunday, we realized that Samson did not ruin his life all at once. He ruined his life one step at a time. And as men, as people, we don't set out to ruin our lives. We don't ruin our lives all at once. We wreck our lives one step at a time. So we've seen this guy who has given so much. We've seen him mess up over and over again. God set him apart to defeat the Philistines. He set him apart to set the Israelites free. And now we find him as a prisoner of the Philistines. And he's not merely a prisoner. His eyes are gouged out. Most Bible scholars believe that the Philistines would have burned out his eyes first, and then they would have just dug out whatever remained. His eyes are gouged out, and he's chained to a grinding mill, and he is grinding. He's chained to a grinding mill doing the work of an animal. He's pushing that grinder all day, every day. And if that's not humiliating enough, he is a laughingstock among the Philistine people. He is mocked. They mock him and make fun of him and ridicule him just for fun. And Samson is about as low as a man can go. It just cannot get any worse than it is right now. So here's our question for today. What do you do when you've really jacked things up? Men, what do we do when we realize that we have wasted time that God has given us? What do we do when we realize that we have wasted the gifts that God has given us? What do we do when we've done some things to embarrass ourselves and to embarrass our family? What do we do when we realize that we didn't do what God created us to do? What do we do when we recognize that we're very far from the man that God intended? Now, here's our deal. As men, we tend to take failure personally. Men and women respond differently because we find value in different things. Like, women receive value in relationships. For women, it's primarily about relationships. They want to know, do you like me? Are we friends? Want to have coffee? Can we talk? Can I get a hug? I think I'm going to cry. For women, it's about relationships. And for women, if they don't get a response to a text like within 60 seconds, they're no longer best friends. Like, you have to respond right away. See, for women, it's all about relationships. Even going to the restroom is about relationships. Women don't go to the restroom alone. Men are different, though. Don't get me wrong, we like to be liked, but it's not everything for us. We get value from, not relationships, we get value primarily from accomplishments. How do we measure up? Did I do well? Did we win? Can we conquer? We like to be liked, but it's not all about relationships. We don't go to the restroom together. And if we happen to end up in a restroom together, we keep the chit-chat to a minimum, especially at a urinal. You don't speak, you don't make eye contact, you look at the wall straight ahead. See, because for men, it's not do you like me, it's do you respect me? So as men, when we fail, we take it personally. And we often feel like failure is the end. We don't feel like we can recover. And that's why a man's greatest fear is failure, and his greatest pain is regret. A man's greatest fear is failure, and his greatest pain is regret. We don't want to fail. We want to measure up. We want to be successful. We want to live up to the expectations. And when we don't, our greatest pain is regret. I wish I could have. I wish I would have. I should have. Why didn't I? And the truth is that many men, like Samson, are going to face some significant regret. Because many men will one day have to look their wives in the eye. The woman who's been faithful to them, who has borne their children, who have served them, and they're going to have to look them in the eye and try to explain why he was getting his thrill with some image on some computer screen. Or he'll have to explain why he betrayed his vow to her and went hoeing with some girl at the office or some friend of a friend. And he will regret betraying the woman who's been faithful to him. Or it's the guy who's in a career that he believes is beneath him and he feels like a failure. Or he's the guy who hates his marriage and he hates it that he hates his marriage. He knows it's not good. She knows it's not good. And he isn't man enough to do anything about it. He hates it that he's not man enough to do anything about this wreck that he calls a marriage. Or maybe it's an inward failure that nobody else sees or gets but him. It's the promise that he made to God to never do it again. And the next Tuesday, he does it again. And internally, he feels like such a failure. Men, here's what we can learn from Samson's story. Because there's something to embrace and internalize and live with at the end of the story. Just because you failed at something doesn't mean you're a failure. A failure is an event never a person. A failure is an event. It is never a person. Samson was a guy who failed over and over and over again. And just when it looks like he has failed so much that God could never love him, much less use him again, God still accomplishes his purpose through a man who could never get it right. I have some good news for you today. Men, there is good news today. Just because you're down doesn't mean you're out. If you failed at something, you are not a failure. A failure is an event, never a person. All right, check this out. Judges chapter 16, verse 23. The Philistine rulers held a great festival, offering sacrifices and praising their god Dagon. And they said, "Our God has given us victory over our enemy Samson." For those of you that forgot that it was a spiritual issue, that it was a spiritual battle, it's a battle between God's people and the worldly people. Their god with a small g, their god Dagon, they think they gave them the victory over Samson. All right, so let's get a picture of what's going on. They're gathered in what is like a coliseum. And there would have been grandstands or layers of seating above an arena floor. And there's like 3,000 people there. And they're worshiping Dagon. Now, Dagon is the god of the harvest. And the image of Dagon was this thing with a man's head and a fish body. So, kind of like male mermaid god, if you will. Which, that's just creepy, right? We see him yet? Did we see not there?
No.
Okay. All right. Thought he was there. So he's man's body, mermaid from the waist down. Okay? And they're like, "Thank you, male mermaid god, for giving us the victory over our enemy Samson." They're making sacrifices and praising the male mermaid god. Verse 24, when the people saw him, they praised their God, saying, "Our God has delivered our enemy to us. The one who killed so many of us is now in our power." See, this is about vengeance. This is about revenge. Samson had wreaked havoc on them repeatedly. Look at verse 25. Half drunk by now, the people demanded, "Bring out Samson so he can amuse us." Now, it doesn't get any worse than this. He is completely shamed in front of his enemies. He has failed miserably. And listen, there's two natural responses to failure. Oh, do we got him now? There he is. Yeah, that's a god I'd pray to. Never. There he is. Sorry, I got him in the wrong order. There he is anyway. You see what he's like now. Looked him up on the interweb. Two natural responses to failure. The first one is remorse. See, there's going to be some failures. There's going to be some events. There's going to be some failures. And there's two natural responses. And the first one is remorse. Unfortunately, many men stop at remorse. I feel bad. I shouldn't have done that. We'll even like take it a step further and say, "I'm a bad person." Sometimes we'll really turn it inward. I'm no good. I'm a horrible person. I'm like the worst. I hate my life. I hate me. But then other times we'll go completely outward with our remorse. And I'm a victim. It was all their fault. This would not have happened if you. It's all Delilah's fault. She came at me with all kinds of junk. She like wanted a song dedication. She did the whole nagging thing. See, here's the unfortunate thing. Unfortunately, some of the men only remember one verse from the entire series. Say it with me. Say it out loud with me. She tormented him with her nagging day after day until he was sick to death of it. Look at you memorize scripture. Guys, don't ever quote that to your wife. Don't let anybody plow with your heifer, and don't quote that verse. There's remorse. We'll say, I'm a loser. I'm no good. It's not my fault. There is remorse, but there's a better response, and that is repentance. Repentance. Because repentance says, I own it. I messed up. It is my fault. And it's more than just owning it. It's saying, I didn't do what God entrusted me to do, and now I'm turning from my failure, and I'm turning to what is right. Do you remember we talked last week? We talked about how men ruin their lives. They ruin their lives one step at a time. So if you're going the wrong way, what do? Turn around. You turn around. That is repentance. See, remorse focuses on what went wrong. You look back at everything you did wrong. But repentance literally means to turn from what is lower to what is higher. Re, the first part of the word, re means turn. And pent means highest. We turn from our low sinful ways and we turn to God and his higher ways. That's what repentance is. It's turning from what is low to what is high. It's not just about, I feel bad about this. It's about turning completely to God and allowing him to take it, take the failure, and make something good and glorifying out of it. Look, we're all going to do some things that we cannot undo. Just like there's texts that you can't unsend, there's things you can't undo. You can't undo, but you can repent. Listen, you can't unsleep with that person that's not your wife, but you can repent. And it's not about, I'm sorry, I got caught, I shouldn't have. We're talking about repenting. You can't unsay what you said. You can't undo what you did. You can't unlook at what you looked at, but you can repent. You can't unsend, but you can repent. And here's the deal with Samson. He came to this point in his life, and I believe he remembers who he was created to be. He remembers who God intended for him to be. I wasn't created to amuse my enemies. I was created and set apart by God to do something significant. Men, we were created to honor and glorify God with our lives. We need to remember who we were created to be. And we cannot allow our spiritual enemy to let us wallow in our remorse. I wish I had. I should have. I could have. I don't like who I've become. It's not my fault. Instead, we must move on to repentance and say, I'm not going to allow what I did to stop me from doing what God wants me to do. I am turning from my sin and I am turning to God. I can't change my past, but God can change my future. Just because you're down doesn't mean you're out. Look at verse 25 again. So he was brought from the prison to amuse them. And they had him stand between the pillars supporting the roof. Now, I'm not saying that the Philistines were a mentally challenged people, but that doesn't seem like a smart thing to do to the strongest man ever. Like, put him between the pillars that support the place. I'm just saying, I would have thought about that. And Samson said to the young servant who was leading him by the hand, place my hands against the pillars that hold up the temple. I want to rest against them. Now the temple was completely filled with people. All the Philistine rulers were there, and there were about 3,000 men and women on the roof who were watching as Samson amused them. And then Samson prayed to the Lord. Sovereign Lord, remember me again. Oh God, please strengthen me just one more time. And with one blow, let me pay back the Philistines for the loss of my two eyes. You gotta love that. God, I've messed up 1,000 times, but I don't need 1,000 more chances. God, I've messed up more times than I can count, but I don't need multiple opportunities. God, I just need one more chance. God, one time, just one time, God. Just enough mercy to give me your strength one more time. What do we see in Samson here? Well, he's broken. He is broken. And listen, I'm telling you, if you keep going down that path away from God, you're going to find yourself broken. You can think you're better than that. You think you're bigger than that. Man, you think you're stronger than that. Samson was not stronger than that. He is completely broken. He is broken. And now, for the first time in his life, he understands that it's not about him. He's broken, and it's not about him anymore. It's all about God. Samson has come all the way back to God. He's saying, for the first time in my life, it's not about me. It's always been about me. It's not about me, Lord. I'm coming back to you, Lord. Whatever I have left is yours. I'm no longer the main character in the story. God, you're the main character in the story. Everything that I have is for your glory. Just one more time. Samson is at the lowest possible point. He is experiencing the ultimate public humiliation. And nobody believes that there's anything good in him. Nobody believes that he can be on top again. Nobody believes that he can be faithful again. Nobody believes that he can be fruitful again. And he has a private moment with God. Maybe some of you are having that moment right now. Maybe some of the guys having a moment right now with God. He has a private moment with God and says, just one more time, Lord. One more chance. You give me your strength, and I'll live the rest of my life for your glory. When a man is down, he is not out. See, because even in our failures, God can still accomplish his purposes. Even in our failures, God can still accomplish his purposes. And that is such good news for all of us. Even in our failures, God can still accomplish his purposes. Verse 29, then Samson put his hands on the two center pillars that held up the temple, and pushing against them with both hands, he prayed, let me die with the Philistines. And the temple crashed down on the Philistine rulers and all the people, so he killed more people when he died than he had during his entire lifetime. It goes to show you that even in your failures, God can still use you. Even though you've messed up, it's not over yet. See, because you are not what you did. You are who God said you are. If you're not dead, you're not done. There is more to do. God has more for you to do. Move out of your past and to repentance. Now listen, if you're a Christ follower, if you are a Christ follower, you have the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, if you're a follower of Christ, you have the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead living inside of you. You may be down, but you are not out. You can be a man of God. Even in your failures, God can still accomplish his purposes. God is not finished with you yet if you'll move out of your past and if you'll move to repentance. And listen, guys, I'm telling you right now, it is time for some of you to push some pillars down. There's some very specific pillars that you need to push down. And I want us to be very specific. It's time to push down the pillar of pride. It's time to push down the pillar of anger. And listen, you can't just say that you want something to be different and not do anything different. You have to go and get some counseling. You have to go and get in rehab. You are going to go to your wife and confess to your wife. And you're going to confess to some godly men. And you're going to confess to your small group. And you're going to get out of that dead-end job. and you're going to stop being an every third or fourth Sunday church attendee, and you're going to get your butt out of bed, and you're going to bring your family to church, and you're going to get your family involved in church, and you're actually going to grow spiritually. It's not about wanting to be something different. It's not about something being different. It's about doing something different. You're going to stop knowing that you have a bad marriage, and you're going to start leading yourself and your wife out of it. You're going to love your way out of it. And you're not going to waste another day with your kids. Stop thinking that someday you will slow down. Someday I'll slow down, but right now I got to make money for my family. Get over that junk and be a dad now before your kids are gone. Can I just tell you, I never thought I would see the day that I would stand before you as a grandfather. I don't even think that way. Someday your kids are going to be grown and gone. And then you'll be a grandparent. Not that there's anything wrong with that. Do something different. You have a calling on your life. You can't wallow in your past. Move out of remorse and repent. You may be down, but you are not out. Proverbs 24:16 says, "The godly may trip seven times, but they will get up again." If you are a Christian, you have resurrection power in your life. You might trip seven times, but get up again. And listen, it's not about you. It's all about Him. It's all about God. So check this out. Samson pushed the pillars down, and they all died. And perhaps the tragedy is that he died too. Because Samson lived his whole life with regret and remorse. And when he finally repented, he gave his life one time. Real men give their lives daily. Real men give their lives to Christ and to their wives and to their family and to their church and to their neighborhood and their community. They give their lives daily. Do you remember this quote way back in message one? The world is yet to see what God can do through one man wholly surrendered to Him. Why don't you be that man? Remorse won't get it done. Turn around. Turn around. Repent and turn around and be that man. Would you bow your heads with me and pray today? You know, I want to do something different today because I just feel like God wants us to do this. Would you just bow your head and close your eyes? I think there's some men who need to maybe step out from where they're sitting and get on their knees before God. And if you're a man like me, the first thing you thought was like, people will see me. You got to turn from that anger. You got to turn from that pride. Just a moment between you and God. Maybe you want to step out or you want to come and you want to kneel at these steps and just say, God, I'm done feeling sorry for myself. I'm done wallowing in the mistakes I've made. I'm turning around right now. I'm turning around right now. Not going to stay there anymore. I'm going to start being the man you called me to be, the man you intend for me to be. I'm going to start being the husband that you intend for me to be. I'm going to start being the father that you intend for me to be. I'm going to start being the church member that you intend for me to be. I'm not going to stay where I am. I'm not going to wallow in the remorse anymore. I'm something new for me with God. Something new for me. Not about me anymore, only about God now. Not the main character anymore. God's the main character in the story. God, I know and believe that you have so much more for us. You intend for us to be so much more than we can imagine. And Father, we don't want to be people. We do not want to be people who live with regret, who live with remorse. We want to repent today. We want to turn from this low place where we're living, and we want to turn to the highest things, God. The things that you have planned for us, the things that you've created us for. Father, in our heart of hearts, we know that there may be some work left for you to do. Open our hearts, Lord. Open our hearts to your leading, to the change you want to bring, to the renewal that you want to bring. God, help us to see how our lives can be so much more for your honor, for your glory, Lord. Change each one of us. Make us new. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.